Hey guys, Lena here, and I want to welcome you to the first week of the year on this podcast. I'm pretty pumped about starting this new year and the series that I have prepared for you. And this is going to take us 10 weeks to go through. If you're new to the podcast, just know that this is a ministry of Living with Power Ministries. It's a nonprofit Bible teaching ministry that I run, basically. And this is really the highlight of one of the things that I do that I love the most. And over the past few months, I've tried to keep the podcast about 15 minutes. I don't know if the series, I mean, it may be up to 20 minutes. I might challenge you a little bit in that, but we'll see. I don't want to put myself too much in a box, but my goal is to keep the teachings here to the point and biblical and helpful to you in your daily life. And so if you've heard me before, then you know what to expect. And if you haven't, then good luck, right? No, just teasing. I tend to be fast-paced, and I'm going to have a lot of information in these lessons, the next 10 lessons series. And you might be going, well, what? Tell us what you're going to be teaching. I can't wait to hear. Because I've been kind of building up to this in the past as I've done the past few weeks of podcasts. Well, here it is. The next 10 weeks, I'm going to cover a series called 10 Areas I Need Help With This Year. 10 areas I need help with this year. And if it's the New Year's, odds are that you, and it is the New Year's, not if it's the New Year's, odds are that you have made your list of New Year's resolutions, unless you're a rebel and decided that you're not going to make any resolutions this year, but that you understand the concept of resolutions at the beginning of the year. Everybody turns a new page, buys a new calendar, and gets excited about what's ahead. And so I'm going to just take these 10 common things that we struggle with and kind of give you a biblical perspective on them. And in order to simplify the discussion, every week as I take an area, I'm going to break the discussion into four questions. They're not going to be the same questions every week, but for every topic, I'm going to try to look at it from four different perspectives. Now, if you know my teaching style, my preference is usually to go through a book of the Bible because I think it keeps us, like, our feet ground in one area. But I like to mix it up here and there. So I'm going to do, this is a topical study where I'm going to be giving you a lot of different Bible passages. And when I finish the 10 weeks, we'll be moving back into a book of the Bible study. I'm going to teach through the Gospel of Mark. So if you're like, man, I really wish you'd just teach through the Bible, don't worry, it's coming. But for the time being, let's enjoy the next 10 weeks. And you say, well, what about today? What are we going to cover today? Right, this is it today. I need help with my eating habits. And so this is a topic that I'm going to handle today. And praying that God's hand of wisdom and protection will be over me as we start this. And I pray that your hearts and minds will be open to His Word. So, I need help with my eating habits. The truth is that at some point in your life, you probably have felt that notion. I hit my 40s a couple of years ago, and I'm telling you, I had to wake up one day and be honest with myself. And I looked at myself in the mirror and thought, if the trend goes on, it will not look good a few years from now. So I had to do some drastic measures and grow in self-control. But when it comes to food, remember I told you we're going to frame this in four questions. Here's the first question. I think it's critical for us to answer this question. Why do I eat? Why do I eat? And you might say, well, I eat because I need to live. No, I really want to challenge you to step back a bit and consider why we eat. And I want to read you a few verses here from Numbers chapter 11. It's an interesting passage. I don't know if it's the first passage that comes to mind when you think about food. In fact, look, you might be listening, and for every topic that I've picked, I've felt like, well, what's the passage that I would take people to really handle this? And I know many of you probably think, well, Matthew chapter 6 should be where we go. God talks about food there. There's many other passages in Scripture about self-control, but I want to take you to Numbers chapter 11 and read you a few verses, and then we'll kind of hit on some of the other verses as well. The scenario is that the people of Israel have left Egypt, and they're going to the promised land, and they're in the wilderness. And if you remember, God had given them manna, food, every day for them to eat. And they get to Numbers chapter 11, and the waiting has gone on too long, and their needs feel too big. And it says, and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. There's a lesson right there, guys, about murmuring and complaining. And God has done so much for them, and you think, man, that God doesn't care when we complain. No, it is a big deal, but let's not get sidetracked. Okay, that's the thing with God's Word, is you start reading, and you get all these ideas about what you could say, but let's keep focused. It says, verse 2, then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of the place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now verse 4, focus. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Now, the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in handfuls, or beat it in mortars and boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. Remember, God had provided for the people of Israel this bread, this manna, that every morning they would get up, they would gather enough for the day, and then it would rot at night. And so they would do this every day except for the day before the Sabbath. They would collect 2 days' worth because they would have enough for the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath was a day of rest. So God had provided for their needs. And yet here they are in verse 4, says the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. Remember, we're talking about help with my eating habits. Why do I eat? And I've just made a list of a few reasons, whether you eat too much or too little, because I think there's kind of two categories of people. Most of us struggle with eating too much. Number one, we crave what we don't have. See, we don't see what we have. And so a lot of times, we get this craving. And by the way, craving is a flag into our hearts. See, our cravings reveal who we are. And how we respond to our cravings in life will really reflect who we worship. And so when you have a desire in your heart, a lot of times for food, the issue isn't just food. The issue is deeper than food. And so why do we eat? Is it because you crave what you don't have? Or is it because you don't like what you do have? See, this is what happened to the people of Israel. They had food, they just didn't care for what they had. Or maybe along those lines, not just I don't like what I have, but I don't like who I am. A lot of people end up opening the fridge and eating because it's just unhappy with yourself. And so you use food to numb the pain. And it's typically your craving is a symptom of a deeper issue. You want to look good. You want to attract people's attention because you feel insecure. And so that is a horizontal focus for food that by the way, we're going to move away from in a minute and go to the vertical. Or is it purely a lack of self-control? Galatians 5, of course, talks about walking in the Spirit. It says in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And Paul goes on to list all of the desires of the flesh, and he lists things like, of course, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. But he goes on and says, envy and drunkenness and orgies, and all of these are examples of areas that we have little control in. And when we walk according to the flesh, we have little self-control. And so do you eat when you need to, or do you eat when you want to? Remember, we're trying to focus on this question, why do you eat? And in the United States, at least, I can say that most of us eat not simply when we need to, but most of us are habituated to eat when we want to. And this wanting is more often than not driven by a deeper craving and a deeper desire and a lack of appreciating what God has already given us and a lack of seeing what God has already given us. We have manna, but it's not enough. We want more. And it may be a desire for a man if you're single. It may be a desire for your husband's love if you're married and you don't feel good enough. You feel like you're not, you know, he doesn't care for you like he should. And so instead of focusing on your relationship with the Lord and finding satisfaction in him, you open the fridge and binge on another, thing of ice cream. And by the way, guys, I mean, women have eating issues, but so do guys. And the number of single guys is equal to the number of single women now. And I'm telling you, I mean, the issues, the heart issues are not that different anymore. And so think about, why do I eat? I want to bring to your attention a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, which I think might come up in this series off and on, but it says this. This is a very convicting verse, I think, talking about God to the people of Israel in that season of wilderness. It says, "You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And listen to this. It says, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And you might have missed it, but he says that it says in there that God let you hunger, and God allows seasons of hunger in our life, whether it is hunger for love, whether it is hunger for relationship, whether it is hunger for a need in your life, or purely even for food, to reveal what is in your heart and to show you that in that hunger, he's the one who's going to meet your need. And so I want you to think about that as we think about how I need help in my eating habits. instead of just like getting your sheet of paper out and starting counting calories and counting carbs and whatever, you know, the Weight Watchers do, and it becomes so focused on rules and regulations, and you never get to the heart of the matter. Answer the question, why do you eat? And if you're on the spectrum where your issue is you don't eat enough, you restrict, you control by trying to decide exactly how many calories you can eat to look a certain way, and you never think that you're good enough, why are you doing that? What is the pain underneath? What is the need in your life that you're really trying to numb with your food? So number two question is this, not just why do I eat, but why do I want to lose weight? A couple of verses I want to read to you. Jeremiah chapter 17, talking about our heart, God says this. It says, the heart is deceitful. This is verse 9 of Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. So even as you seek this new year, how do I want to lose weight? How do I do it? Ask yourself, what is in my heart? And we're talking about why I want to eat. You say, well, I don't know. Well, the Bible tells us here, God tells us in His Word that the heart bends towards wickedness. Our desires naturally are towards wickedness and are towards ourselves, not towards God. And so He says, I, the Lord, search the heart and mind and test the mind. So ask Him, God, you know, help me understand why it is that food is an issue in my life. How about this verse in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24? It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And so as you think about why do I want to lose weight, you might say, well, I'm not sure. Or maybe you know. You might want to do it because you want to get healthy. That's great. That's great, as long as being healthy isn't the idol of your life, the thing that you want above all else. We've got a group of people now in the United States and all over the world that like they'll skip anything to be healthy. I mean, to them, it's like the highest priority. Running, eating healthy, going to the grocery store, organic, no wheat. You know, I don't know. It's crazy how we've become. And you might say, well, what's wrong with being healthy? Nothing. As long as you're doing it out of a heart of worship to the Lord and that it is under the control of the Holy Spirit. You might be, why do I want to lose weight? Maybe you're doing it because you're single and you really want to get married and you think, man, if I don't look good, they're not going to look at me. You're missing the point. Again, it's an issue of trust. Do you trust that God is able? Now, you might say, well, but shouldn't we be healthy? And isn't it better if you're, you know, even if you're in the context of marriage? I mean, you want to take care of yourself. It shows love for your significant other. But why? What the why, the motive that is driving your behavior is what? Maybe it's because you just want to look good. You have pride in appearances. Can I remind you of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse, I think it's, let me tell you what verse exactly, because this is an awesome verse. Chapter 16 of 1 Samuel verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. What is your goal in life? Is it that people see you and say, man, she is really good looking, and you feel a surge of pride? That's not God honoring. Why do I want to lose weight? Is it to stop the pain in your life? Is it to control situations in your life? Or is it to glorify God? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 is an awesome verse. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you want to be healthy? Do you want to take care of your body because it is a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're told in 1 Corinthians, and you want to honor God with it. And then God be praised, that is a good reason to do it. And now you can see God's help in it. And so, Matthew, by the way, I want to also comment to the other side. I mean, there's some of you listening may be like, man, we barely have enough money to pay for our food. Our worry isn't that we overeat or undereat. Our worry is that we have enough to eat. And I've been thinking about that, especially as I think about doing this podcast in Arabic, and some of the audiences in Arabic listening to this, maybe also going, you know, refugees or living in places where they don't have enough. And can I tell you that food can become an issue of worry as well? And that is why in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes through verses 25 through 34, where he talks about this issue, and he says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And Jesus goes on and tells us how he takes care of the birds and the fields and just drives this point home. You seek the kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, why do I eat? Why do I want to lose weight? think motive, think heart. And now, number three, what does God think about my eating habits? Or what does God think about my eating in general? I think there's a few points here I want to bring out quickly. Number one, he thinks it's a gift to enjoy. And you can see that all the way from Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7. I mean, over and over in the scripture, God tells us that food is to be enjoyed, and he's given us the freedom to eat, and I love that. In the New Testament, of course, even more freedoms that were given to us in Christ. And so it is a gift to enjoy. But number two, it's a need he longs to provide for me in. It's a need he longs to provide for me in. I read Matthew 6. Food is a need. He created us. You can't just stop eating. You'll die. You need a healthy diet. And I'm a doctor. I mean, I went to med school, hundreds of thousands of dollars of education to tell you that. You need food. Now, we overfood, but the point is God longs to provide for your need in that. And so what an opportunity. So you say, well, what does God think about me eating habits? It's a gift. It's an area where he can provide for you. But then it's an opportunity for you to grow in relationship with the Lord in. You say, grow how? Well, grow in obedience and in self-control. Galatians chapter 5. It says, if you, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I also like Romans 13, verse 14. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Man, I just want to eat this whole pint of ice cream. Well, you're not going to die. Eat it once. That's fine. But if it becomes a habit where you're doing it over and over and over again because you're hurting and because you're upset and you're like, God, you never do what I want you to do. And I'm still single and I'm still miserable and my husband won't change and my kids won't do what I say and I'm eating another pint of it. And next thing you know, you're like, man, I've got a problem. What an opportunity. This area of need, what an opportunity for you to grow in trust and in obedience and in self-control. But it's also a chance to deny yourself. In Romans 13, I just read it. You know, God, Jesus admonished us that to follow him is to deny yourself. And I'm telling you, I'm not great at fasting. But in 2015, I want to start doing a little bit of fasting where I choose to hold back from certain things to show my love for the Lord and to practice the self-denial, which I think can draw you closer to the Lord. It's also a reordering. What does God think about my eating habits? We've talked about the gift to enjoy, an area for him to provide for you in, an opportunity to grow, a chance to deny yourself. And then it's a reordering of my priorities. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then food and clothing and need will be added unto you. And so how are your priorities? What is first in your life? Do you wake up and think about what you're going to eat? Or do you wake up and think about how you can honor God for the day? And lastly, what does God think about my eating habits? It might be a sin that you need to repent of. The lack of self-control, following the flesh, disobeying God in those areas. Not trusting God. Craving, talked about Numbers in 11, craving what he hasn't given you. Not appreciating, mumbling, grumbling over the things that he has given you. You know, the solution in Numbers 11, when God then gave them locusts and they ate and they died. You know what the solution was? Repentance. You have to have a change of ways. You have to have a change of mind and say, God, I don't know how we're going to get there, but I agree with you. My food is out of control. My eating habits are out of control. I want to put them back under your control. And fourth question, you might say, now, what should I do now then? What should I do now? We've talked about, why do I eat? Why do I want to lose weight? What does God think about my eating habits? And now, what should I do now? It's not complicated. Number one, identify your craving. What is it that you crave? Is it, I want to look good? Is it, I want to be a certain weight? Is it, I want to get a guy? Is it, I want to get my spouse to finally love me again? Is it, I don't know. You think about it. What is it that's causing you? What is your craving? What is it that God has given you that you don't like? And are you trying to use food to control it? Number two, establish accountability. Just find a friend and tell them. You know, every area of your life, if you keep it in the dark, it'll stay in the dark. It is only as you shed light on it. There's freedom as we bear one another's burdens. There's something that happens as we tell each other those sins that we have and need in our life that God sheds light on. Take a step of obedience. Put on the principle. We're going to handle that more and more as we get into the next 10 weeks. But put off the works of the flesh and put on the work of the Spirit. So there are some practical things you're going to need to do. Get rid of the foods that always get you. Identify the seasons in your life when you get discouraged and depressed and you are likely to open the fridge and binge on something you're not supposed to. You know, start identifying those patterns. Ask God to reveal your hearts. God, what is my craving and how do I fill it? And now how can I change my habits? And then find accountability and establish new habits. And when all's said and done, I'm going to finish with this verse in Proverbs. And I think it's just an awesome verse, Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 8 and 9, it says, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me." Or I like another version that says, "Feed me with food that is convenient for me." That's the NKJV says that. But it goes on to say, "Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." God wants to give us just enough, not too much, not too little. And when it comes to food, there is such a thing as moderation. There is something to be spoken about for being healthy. But at the root of it is identifying why is food such an issue for you. And when you get to the root of it, everything else falls into place. And so, I don't know how, you know, your struggle's going in this area. Maybe you've already failed your New Year's resolution. Well, listen, it's time to refocus. It's time to kind of set a new, to turn a new page. God's mercy is new every morning. His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And so if you've already feel like, man, the year's already off to a bad start, just turn a new page and let's start again. Just take some time, ask God to search your heart, to identify that craving, and then praise Him for what He's given you. Thank Him for the situation, the circumstance in your life that is driving you to eat in a way that is not pleasing to Him, and establish some habits that are new, both in your healthy eating as well as in friendship and accountability, that I think will lead you to a place of freedom in this. God's heart for us is to be free in Jesus Christ. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, so let's start acting like it, okay? I told you I'm going to try to keep these as short as I can. That's all I got for you today. If you want to send me an email, oh, I know what I was going to do. Two resources. I thought at the end of every teaching this next 10 weeks, I want to give you some resources that will help. Here's the first. Lisa Turker's book called Made to Crave. Made to Crave is an awesome resource about this issue that I think you will find great, great help with and in. And the second one is a Bible study called The Lord's Table, Setting Captives Free, is the ministry that put out this Bible study. You can find it online. I think it will be greatly helpful to you. I'll talk when we do the session on purity. I'll talk about the ministry of Setting Captives Free. It really has been helpful to me in the past. But the Lord's Table is a food-focused Bible study that I think will be very helpful to you. So that is all I have for you. Have a great week, guys. If you have any questions, email, you know, anything that you want to talk to me about, go to lena@livingwithpower.org or check out the website, livingwithpower.org. I would love to answer and pray for you in your point of need. Okay? Bye.